So it's been a week. How's your quarantine?
About the same as it was the last time we talked. So how many movies have you been catching up on?
To tell you the truth, not a lot. Well, we're going to talk about some stuff, but unfortunately, not a lot, because with the kids being home, there's not a place in the house I can go. But I did sign up for Shudder a couple of days ago. So
okay.
I plan to start using some time to really get some things done.
Right.
But no, I've caught up on a few, and there's some stuff we're going to talk about. I got kind of in the notes, but
okay.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 151. This is Scary Dad Lives Part 2. This is kind of the recap of the last 5 months that we've been on hiatus, and while we were gone, The Shining happened, The Stand happened, Pet Sematary happened, in the Stewart land anyway. It's been Needful Things, it's been a Stephen King sort of winter. So what that peak is. They're picking up my kids in the background.
Minions.
Yeah. So, all right, let's see.
First, the old business.
Thank you, Mr. Gomez. All right, this date in 1953, the CIA launches the mind reading operation MK Ultra. not a good thing. All right. Next thing is in 1970, an oxygen tank explodes on Apollo 13, and we get a really good Tom Hanks movie. And on this date in 1997, Tiger Woods becomes the youngest player to win the Masters.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
So, not a whole lot of old business today, which is all right, because we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
1570, the guy who has all of the anonymous masks that nobody really knows what he was about, but Guy Fawkes.
Yes.
And this date in 1743, Thomas Jefferson, the man who wrote the Constitution that is being completely trampled upon right now by all the elected officials.
It's for our own safety.
Yep. All right, 1946, the Reverend Al Green, the singer.
Singer, yes. Yes, I know who you speak of. He found Jesus after his wife threw hot grits on him. I don't know if you know that story, but yeah, he because of his infidelity, she threw some hot grits on him, then all of a sudden he found God.
Yeah.
Hot grits is like napalm. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but once it lands on you, it doesn't go away. It just burns, man.
And this date in 1950, Hellboy, Mr. Ron Perlman. And on this date in 1970, remember Silver Spoons?
Yes, very well.
Ricky Schroeder,
yeah.
And notable deaths this date in 2018. This guy would have been having a field day with this quarantine thing, but did you ever listen to the AM radio, Art Bell?
Oh, yeah. I used to love Art Bell, man. I used to listen to him a lot.
Art Bell passed away on this date in 2018. I don't think he was really sick or old. I think they wanted to get rid of him before this thing happened.
I started listening to AM radio right around 9/11, to be honest with you, just for news. I started exclusively listening to AM radio at that time. And I remember there was a guy who had a show, and you probably remember him, but I don't know if you listened to the early days of his show, but Phil Hendry. Remember Phil Hendry?
Yeah.
And
Phil Hendry would sit in with on Art Bell.
Yeah, anybody on the Phil Hendry show, you ever listen to his show that he had?
Nuh-uh.
What he would do is he would he would play himself as the host, and then he would play a character that was associated calling into the show. And these characters would just be speaking about the most outlandish possible things. And regular listeners of Phil Hendry knew what he was doing, but every time he would do this, he'd get a new listener that didn't realize it was a fake person that would call, that he would just troll people, and they'd call in arguing with him just about the, this insane stuff that he'd be talking about. It, Phil Hendry was classic fucking radio, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, dude, I used to listen to Art Bell. So I used to, my parents moved to out of town, it's about a 45 minute drive. And, when in the 90s, so I was like 21, 22 years old. But whenever I'd run out there for the weekend or for holidays or whatever, Art Bell every night. So I'd go to work, go hang out with some friends, drink some beer, whatever. Be like, okay, you know, head out to the folks' house and do some laundry, sleep on the couch. And Art Bell always had some really cool stuff to talk about. Aliens and government conspiracies and, yeah, this was good stuff. But yeah, not a whole lot of old business for today, so we're just going to leave it at that, and we'll be back with the new.
Foolish friends, Freddy Krueger is on your phone. Dial this number now. I've got some tales to tell. Freddy's favorite bedtime stories. Deadtime stories. All brand new, straight from my boiler room to your home. It's Freddy Krueger on your phone. So dial this number now, if you dare. Tell him Freddy sent you.
$2 the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. Children, get your parents' permission before you dial.
All right, what you got for us, Mr. Gomez?
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All righty, let's go ahead and get into it. Once again, some of this old business, some of this new business isn't exactly new, but I tried to not go further back than February, just so we can go ahead and start catching up. North Dublin, Ireland. Some folks that decided to go walking on a beach down in North Dublin. They were greeted with a very horrific sight. All of a sudden, one morning, they woke up to a bunch of pig heads on stakes at the beach.
Nice.
The pictures are so gory, but it's actually butchered pig heads, all bloody, stuck on stakes. And these people started finding these spikes, called the police, thought there was some satanic cult stuff going on in Northern Ireland. And come to find out, it was part of a photo shoot by some young filmmakers who for whatever reason, decided not to clean up after their photo shoot and just left dead pig heads everywhere on spikes. People were shocked. I think they received like a couple of thousand complaints about what was going on. The images are startling. It's just imagining going to the beach and finding that stuff is just crazy.
Dude, I told you whenever I was a kid, we used to have pig heads in bags at the grocery store.
I've seen them as recently as last year or the year before. I've seen them in like Walmarts and stuff.
I'm sure they didn't go out of style. I mean, a pig head's a pig head, but back when it was a seasonal thing. But I remember we'd go, and my dad would always give me a hard time because I'd like poke at the eyes, and my dad would tell me, he's like, son. It's like, don't do that. There's some guy that has to come to the store, and he has to search through all these bags to find a pig that hasn't had its eyes gouged out by curious kids. I'm like, dude, they actually eat that? He's like, yeah. They don't want a whole bunch of dents in their pig eyes? Stop it. And he was serious, but it's just a weird conversation to have.
Okay, recently animal rights activists decided to take up what they consider to be a huge problem in a small town in Wisconsin. The town is called Ridgeland. But apparently every year in February during their Pioneer Day celebration, which is in its 38th year this year, they have what's called the Chicken Toss, where people – when you first read the explanation of it, it sounds like it might be like just an insane event where people are throwing chickens off the roof of a building. And people down below catch it until you start looking at the pictures. Okay, now Ridgeland animal rights activists actually descended upon the town this year to try to put a stop to it. But basically, they're taking live chickens and throwing them off the roof of a garage. So 10 foot.
Right.
And they're being caught by the crowd below. They're catching. So the chickens are actually falling maybe 4 or 5 foot, never hitting the ground, and they descended upon this town of 273. Oh, no. Population originally is 273, and So needless to say, the people that live in Ridgeland didn't much care for the animal rights activists trying to stop their what was described as disturbing behavior. But from what it says, they interviewed one of the guys, and he said, it started out as something kind of stupid to break up the winter, and we've been doing it for almost 40 years now. So there's no plans on stopping the horrific chicken toss of 4 feet down. Recently, this teacher's thing went viral. I don't know if you heard about it, but this teacher at a deaf school who teaches a very young...
Why would I have heard about it if it was a deaf school?
Because you're not deaf yourself. Okay, this woman is a first grade teacher for the deaf and hard of hearing students. Apparently, she recently had to go to a thing to explain to these deaf kids that farts actually make noise.
I had seen that.
And it is just so funny how she shares the conversation on Facebook she had with these kids. But apparently, one of the 6-year-old kids farted so loud in class. And some of the classmates started to laugh because remember, these aren't all just fully deaf. These are hard to hear kids too.
Yeah.
So the six-year-old kid was confused as to why everybody was laughing. So he asked, why are they looking at me? And the teacher said, signed to him, because they heard you fart. And the kid said, what do you mean? And she said, hearing people can hear farts. And that's when another kid said, wait, you can hear all farts? And she said, no, not all farts, but some of them, yes. And then a third kid chimed in, how do you know which farts they can hear and which farts they can't? So she said, well, you know how sometimes you can feel your butt move when you fart? A lot of those they can hear, but if your butt doesn't move, it's more likely they didn't hear. It's an actual conversation she's having with 6-year-old kids, dude. It's just the funniest shit. So the first kid says, tell them to stop listening to my farts. It's not nice. And it just goes on and on with her trying to explain to these deaf kids that, yeah, we can actually hear you when you fart. When you think about it, how else would they know that? They'd probably just go around as a young kid just farting everywhere, thinking that it's between you and your butt and nobody else knows anything. And finally, we got an interesting criminal recently. This is about a week ago. A resident of Western State of Washington was arrested following a high-speed chase. The incident unfolded on a Sunday afternoon after police received calls about a driver hitting vehicles in the area south of Seattle and then speeding away. They finally pulled him over, 1996 Buick, and were shocked to see that there was a pit bull in the driver's seat. The man explained to the officers that he was teaching his dog how to drive. No, I really don't. This article, I first read it, and I was like, I think this is more of an idea of Mr. Alberto Tito Alejandro was actually driving himself, and when the cops finally used their spike strips to stop his car, he quickly switched spots with the dog and said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell him the dog was driving. So needless to say, he was booked on multiple felonies, including driving under the influence of drugs. But yeah, his excuse, that it's such a unique excuse to the police, as though it was okay, was saying that I was teaching my pit bull how to drive the car. Sorry, it's the pit bull's fault that he can't drive very well.
Of course.
But that's what I have for new business this week. I know it's not a whole lot, but as you said, we got plenty to talk about and catch up on.
Well, let's take a break, and we will be right back.
All righty.
Hi. My name is Stephen King. I've written several motion pictures, but I want to tell you about a movie called Maximum Overdrive, which is the first one I've directed.
Wow. What in the dickens is going on around here?
A lot of people have directed Stephen King novels and stories, and I finally decided if you want something done right, you ought to do it yourself.
Who was driving it?
I don't know.
Curtis! It's coming at your ass!
It was my first picture as a director. And you know something? I sort of enjoyed it.
What is going on?
I don't know!
I just wanted someone to do Stephen King right.
You want a war? You got one.
I just want to get the hell out of here.
So come and spend some time with me and my friends at the Dixie Boy. Spend some time in the dark.
Please don't let us be in the dark.
Help me.
I'm going to scare the hell out of you. And that's a promise.
You're going to get us in an awful lot of trouble, man.
We already in trouble.
Maximum terror.
Jesus coming and he is.
Maximum king.
Maybe tomorrow will be our world again.
Dino De Laurentiis presents Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
Okay, well, so the people who are listening to this might not have as much of an appreciation. But
really quick, I'm going to stop just for 1 second because I forgot to do it last episode. But okay. I have to give a huge shout out to Steve and Julie of S&J Comics in Canton, Texas. Now, you remember Steve and Julie. I used to live in their garage apartment back in the day.
Yes.
Julie is, of course, a super fan of the show. And when I was talking to her recently, she was demanding that we get back to it and release some content because she missed our show so much. So just to give a shout out to Steve and Julie, they recently opened up a comic book store in Canton, Texas. Nice. Called S&J Comics, Toys, and More. If you get a chance, make sure you visit them out there. They can be found on Facebook under S&J Comics and also SN, as in the letter N, jcomics.com, where you can learn more about their comic shop. But big shout out to Julie and Steve. We appreciate the support for sure.
Big time. Thank you so much. All right. Well, I'm gonna show you something, and you're going to look at this and be like, why are you showing me something on Skype that we're going to be talking about? But as these things go, the story about this thing just gets more and more bizarre, right? So, a while back, I saw this really cool patch on the internet, and it's kind of an 80s Dayglow depiction of an Uzi machine gun. And I thought, man, I've got to get that thing. So I went to the company that sold it, and it was on back order, so I went ahead and put in, you know, an order for it, and I completely forgot about it. So then, like, 6 months passed, right? And finally I got an email that says, hey, we got your patch in. If you still want it, you know, finish your, you know, go to your cart and check out. So I get the patch, and I receive it, but it's kind of one of those, like, military morale patches where it's got Velcro on the back, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so what am I going to, put it on my backpack, put it on a shirt, put it on a jacket? Like, I don't wear a jean jacket or anything. Like, what am I going to do? So I'm like, all right, I'll just buy a black hat, you know, just like a straight up just baseball cap and have it sewn on there. So I go buy a black hat, get the patch, like, take it up to I'm telling you, like you're going, like, this is a lot of detail, right? But I just want to, I want to make it clear that whenever you, sometimes you see something on the internet and you have an idea in your head, that it just, sometimes things go terribly wrong.
Right.
So I go to the place across the freeway that does embroidery and sewing and stuff. And they're like, nope, we don't sew patches on hats. You have to go to, like, a dry cleaner's that has a tailor or an alteration specialist. So I go down to the dry cleaner, and I'm like, hi, do you sew patches on hats? And she's like, yes, we sew patches on hats. It'll be $6, and you can pick it up tomorrow. Awesome. So I go the next day to pick up my hat, and they've sewn it on kind of diagonally and kind of offset to, like, right? And I was like, well, this isn't good. She's like, well, why isn't it good? I was like, because it's a rectangular patch that I want, like, kind of. So she's like, okay, well, I'm sorry. Well, I'll talk to her and have her do it again. No charge. So I pick it up the next day, and it's cut. It's the exact same problem, just the other direction. So it's diagonally to the left instead of to the right. And so I get mad, and I'm like, look, okay, first of all, I'm not going to go remove the patch. So at the very least, you're going to remove the patch from the hat that you've sewn twice badly, right? And I point out, like, look, you can measure, there's a center point here, and then there's little holes, so you should be able to figure it out. She's like, oh, like, I'm sorry. So I go there the next day, and I see it sitting on the counter, and the patch is even. It's centered, top to bottom and left to right. It's on there. She's like, oh, did we do it right? And I shit you not, Scott. I absolutely, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I was like, it's perfectly straight. The motherfucker's upside down. I was like, it's upside, like, so anyway, I ended up not paying, but it was like four trips to the damn place after waiting a month for the thing to come in the mail. It was kind of like the Ralphie in Christmas Story. It's a commercial. Like, dude, all I wanted was like. So now it's like I don't even like it that much anymore.
It's taken away from it. It's been too much of an effort.
Yeah, I mean it's cool, but even then it's still a little bit off center. I might just have somebody. At least I didn't pay to have it done.
Right,
but. All I wanted, and the sudden they're being like, dude, I'm 44 years old and I'm spending all this time trying to get my freaking Uzi hat set put together, right? Like, the sorts of things that you spend your time on. Oh, man. So, we haven't talked since The Mandalorian came out. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I have not watched any of it. I've been meaning to, but I keep getting sidetracked watching other things.
You need to watch that. It's badass. So you asked me about movies. I haven't been able to watch a tremendous amount of stuff. When I was out on medical, we went and saw that movie Knives Out.
Okay, yeah.
It's all right. Wasn't great. Certainly not a horror movie, so I rewatched a couple while I was on my medical leave. Rewatched a couple old classics, watched Poltergeist, not the remake. Watched Jaws. I managed to catch the final half of Jaws: The Revenge.
Okay,
remember that one?
Yeah.
That was. I was at a hotel and it was on TBS, so it was. Oh yeah, the reason I wasn't at a hotel. I was at an Airbnb in Estes Park, Colorado, because. Right before the world started coming to an end, the weekend before I was going to come back to work off my medical leave, I had an opportunity to go to Colorado. So we went to Estes Park, and I didn't stay in the Stanley Hotel, but I got to tour the Stanley Hotel where Stephen King stayed and got inspired to write The Shining. So got to see all those crazy mountain passes and the hotel and hear the stories and walk the grounds and, you know, all that cool stuff. So that was fun.
I've promised my daughter that we will be making a trip out there once all this kind of de-escalates and everything. She has some friends in Colorado she wants to visit. And I said, hey. How far are they from Estes Park? Yeah. She said they're not far at all, actually. They're only like 20 or 30 minutes away from Estes Park. So,
yeah, and dude, it's beautiful up there.
Yeah, like, all the pictures I've seen, it looks glorious, man.
So it's actually like it's a valley, like at the top of the mountains, right? So if you imagine you go up the mountains and then you hit this little area where now you're going down the mountain into this little town, and it's storybook looking, right? It's right. Gorgeous. Absolutely just phenomenal. And, it's like storybook. So, you know, we had our little thing and we walk around the shops and there's, you know, restaurants and bars and, lots of candy. I mean, I was still on, I wasn't so much on vocal rest as much as I was on vocal light duty, so I couldn't do a whole lot of talking, but we wandered around and we saw the sights, and the Stanley Hotel was gorgeous. The food was amazing. I got a cool bunch of pictures of a lot of stuff that is described in the book, and so that was really cool. Didn't get any pictures of any ghosts or anything, but it was still still a good time. I'm glad cool. I went.
Cool. Yeah, it's a bucket list item for sure. So I'm looking forward to going.
Actually, that was it was on our bucket list discussion from one of our earlier episodes.
Right.
Like our horror bucket list. It was on there for sure, and I didn't get it. I couldn't stay there, but I did get to see the tour. And honestly, because not to knock it, but the I think the price on a room there is something like $300 a night.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
It's certainly not cheap. And we were there. I mean, all the stuff you want to see is kind of in the lobby and on the grounds anyway. All the guest rooms are pretty much just like hotel guest rooms.
So right.
You know, yeah, sure, you can sleep in the haunted hotel. Ooh, spooky. But for the price, you know, we got the tour.
Yeah, you get the tour. Right, exactly.
Got some souvenirs. But I also got to go to Mile High Comics in Denver.
Okay.
So when we were coming on our way back to the airport, we had some time to kill. And so you've seen ads for Mile High Comics since your old days of reading comics and seeing. They're like they have the ads in the back, like, you know, Mile High Comics, you know.
Right.
That was a little bit different experience, because often you think of first of all, if it's going to be that big, but like, you know, you're familiar with Houston and like the Warehouse District.
Yeah.
Like over on the east side of downtown. That's where Mile High Comics is comparatively. Like, it's like we're like driving in towards Denver. It's like, oh, you want to go to Mile High Comics? You go off this direction and go into like all of this kind of industrial area and warehouse district spot. And it's a very unassuming looking warehouse with Spider-Man on the side.
Right.
But it was pretty cool. I got a t-shirt.
Well, you hit it all at the right time, because everything is shut down now. You're not going anywhere right now.
This was probably the last week of February, right?
Okay.
The coronavirus was on the news. We got back in, and within the first week of March, everything shut down. So, I mean, it was really, really close.
Right.
To everything. It was crazy. But hey, man, horror bucket list. I mean, Mile High wasn't really a bucket list, but it was like we had.
It's still a great experience, man. It's something to talk about.
Went through that Denver airport with all that apocalyptic stuff. Like, you've heard about that, right?
No.
So the best thing to, like, if you're curious, for the listeners, if you're curious about the Denver International Airport, if you want to Google it, there's a kind of a photo diary that was done by the Chive, like back in 2010, right? But the long story short is that Denver didn't need an airport. Denver already had an airport that was modern and everything, but they started to build an airport outside of Denver. And it went way over budget, and it took a whole big long time. And then whenever it started coming close to when they were going to build it, or to open it or whatever, then it was fraught with all kinds of problems. So, like, at the very front, like, you know how, like, when you're going to Intercontinental and you exit the freeway and it says you're now entering the airport, and you've still got, like, 5 or 6 miles before you're going to actually be at a terminal?
Right.
Right when you turn off the freeway into Denver International Airport, they've got this giant, like, flaming horse with glowing red eyes. And the artist who put it in was killed by it when they were installing it.
Jesus.
Like, it fell down and killed him. And then when you're walking around inside of Denver International, there's all this apocalyptic art that's, like, describing pandemics. Like, it's got all these people hiding in boxes while the pestilence is killing them all. And all the world leaders are, like, hiding, and all the people are dying and stuff. And it's very surreal, but I'll see if I can remember to put a link, because the Chive guys were like on a layover, so they walked around taking pictures of all this stuff and kind of photojournaling it, and it's really frightening.
What was the inspiration to use that as a theme? It's just very odd.
The conspiracy is because Denver is obviously a mile high in elevation.
Uh-huh.
So they could technically dig as deep as they want to go and still be continental without being below sea level, so that you could put all of your all of your bunkers in there, and not like not be affected by nuclear, not be affected by floods or rising waters or anything else. Like Denver's a pretty good spot if you wanted to have like a Hitler bunker. And so the conspiracies go that they went out into this kind of remote suburb outside of Denver. They dug all these bunkers, and then whenever they needed an access point for all their international buddies coming to hide with them, make an international airport.
Right.
Everybody flies in, everybody gets on the elevators, everybody waits out the apocalypse.
The crisis, right.
And everybody dies. But yet, of course, with all good apocalypses, there's clues everywhere. Right? like this. So let me see if I can find that. I'll post a link if I can find it.
But, yeah, it'd be cool to check out.
So that's me, man. What have you got?
I've caught up on several 80s movies, been kind of watching some of the for the Houston Horror Film Festival, just catching up on some of the movies from some of the guests that I haven't seen in a while. So lots of 80s horror, Slumber Party Massacre, Sleepaway Camp, Maniac Cop 1 and 2. Just been watching a few of that stuff. Of course, new seasons of Ozark and Happy, two of my favorite Netflix shows, dropped, you know, about a week ago. So I caught up on some of the old episodes to prepare myself for the new seasons that drop, which if you haven't watched Ozark yet, the season 3 was just phenomenal, man. It was a...
I dropped out at season 2, so okay. I gotta go back and probably and catch up. Meg watches it.
Season 3 was great. Happy season 2 was... It was all right. It wasn't as good as the first season because they... I think what it is, you know, sometimes when a show comes out and there's certain elements of a season that stand out, it's hard to replicate those same elements in the second season. So they, instead of trying to make the second season its own thing, they tried to replicate the first season, which kind of left a, it was kind of, you know, I've seen this already. Why are you doing it again? Type feel. But it was still pretty good. Other than that, just working and everything else, working from home during the day pretty much, except for going out and trying to find supplies at night out in the field and having to stay up till like midnight, 1 o'clock. So usually get home about 11, kick on Netflix or Amazon Prime and catch up on some old shows, man.
I feel you, man. Like, that was the thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to get on Shudder. Excuse me. Like, Shudder's always had their deals, but then they've got their quarantine 30-day trial. And when we were doing you know what's awesome, like we started talking about Reanimator, and I was like, man, I haven't watched that in forever. Let me see if I can find a version. And then Shudder had it on, you know, if you go 30-day free trial. So I'm like, cool, they got Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator. That's whenever Stuart Gordon passed away, and we're like, oh, we got to talk about some Reanimator. So I watched Reanimator the other day. We talked about it on the show. Just about how... Remember when we did our episode about Return of the Living Dead? And we're like, just like, throughout this whole movie, nothing gets better. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Like, Reanimator was just like that. It's like these two dudes were like, well, that ended badly, let's do it again. And just keep amping it up over and over again. So that was a lot of fun. It was fun to talk about it on the show. So if you haven't watched it in a while, we could do a fresh eyes on Reanimator, because it's
okay. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. So
like I said, saw the back half of Jaws: The Revenge, the one where the shark roars.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous. Let's see, I saw Oculus, which is, I'd never seen before, but that's a Mike Flanagan from the Haunting of Hill House.
Okay, yeah.
If you've never seen it before, like, I hadn't seen it, I'd heard it was good. I had no reason to mistrust that, but Oculus was really good. It's I don't know why my mind wants to say slow burn, because it's not a slow burn. It's pretty straight creepy right from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Where you just kind of never know. It's one of those sorts of haunted house sorts of things where you're not quite sure if the people involved are just crazy or if the house is really evil, right? Like, that's what the story is. But then you find out the answer's probably both. like that old commercial where the little girl's like, why can't we have both for dinner, right? Like, it's a little bit of both. So that was awesome. Started The Witcher. Then the show outpaced my book reading, so I had to stop watching The Witcher because it was started to spoil the book.
Okay.
So I prefer it if a book spoils a show. Like, if I read a book and watch a show and be like, oh, this is different than when you watch a movie, and then as you're reading the book, you're like, well, why am I reading this? Because,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it changes. They change too much stuff, and it kind of pisses you off. So, but you can be disappointed by a show a lot faster than having the book be spoiled by the movie.
Right.
Oh, let's see.
I also finally got around to watching Mrs. Claus, a.k.a. Stirring, by our friend Troy.
Oh, how was that? That's one I haven't gotten a chance to watch.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. And I also watched Pickaxe by Jeremy Summerall, which was a really cool flick. The practical effects in that, the kills are very bloody. They're nice. Very enjoyable for sure. So both of those films are, of course, on Amazon Prime. Great to watch. What else have I been watching? I've just been also just rewatching stupid stuff every once in a while, like catching up on the old Police Academy movies, which I hadn't seen in a while. I hadn't seen Airplane 2 in forever, so I went ahead and watched Airplane 2 with the kids.
That's another thing, is because there needs to be some levity in everything. Because normally, that was a discussion that Meg and I were having when I was on medical leave. It's like I just felt like, even though I couldn't talk, right? I couldn't do anything, but I felt because... like, I was leaving the podcasting behind. I felt like I was losing control of stuff. And a lot of it probably had to do with medication, but still. I was just like, man, I've got to do. She's like, why do you have to do? Like, it's not like this is your job. I was like, but I'd like it to be. But she's like, no, you wouldn't, because then you'd have to do it. But, like, if it's something you're, like, why are you losing? I was like, fine. I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't watch movies unless I'm researching it for the show. Right, so we watch some stuff that's not horror, and I guess that's okay from time to time.
Yeah.
We watched Three Men and a Baby, and I hadn't seen that in a while, and then I remembered exactly how cocaine-iac the 80s was, because you have this cute little story about Three Men and a Baby, and you have to turn it into Miami Vice. But then watch The Mandalorian, and you need to watch The Mandalorian, and anybody who hasn't by now, I don't know if I'm not going to spoil anything for it, but here's how good The Mandalorian is, right? So my little daughter Juliet, when she was 4 years old, comes up to me and says, hey, do you know about Darth Vader? Because Papa let me watch it, and I'm loving Darth Vader. And Autumn has always hated Darth Vader. She doesn't like Star Wars, she's not interested, and she gets pissed off when you talk about it. So... when The Mandalorian started, hey, The Mandalorian's coming on. Juliet was all about it, and she and I were like, okay, let's do this. Well, the other two, who are not interested in Star Wars, were on the other side of the room doing a puzzle. And so episode one comes on, and by the end of episode one, Autumn was kind of looking over her shoulder. Not interested, but just kind of...
paying attention, paying a little attention to it.
By episode two... she was sitting still over on the other side of the room, sitting over there with her eyes covered, but looking through her fingers. And by episode three, she was sitting there on the couch watching.
Cool, man.
She still does not like Star Wars, dun dun dun, but Mandalorian is, she's got a Baby Yoda poster in her room. Like, she's full on into it. So that's how good it is. Is you take somebody who absolutely hated the franchise to
start enjoying it, right?
Yeah. So, those are good times. Let's see, what else have I done? Oh yeah, I finished my book.
Oh, cool.
So I had a whole bunch of irons in the fire. So I, if you didn't know, I write scary stories. I've had a few published here and there in different anthologies, and I've been working on kind of this anthology for a long time, and being on medical leave, I actually finally had a chance to finish it. And by finish it, I mean I had a whole bunch of unrelated stories, stories that were completely unrelated to one another, but I thought I could tie in by writing a central story that ran down the middle. The only problem was several of those stories were tied up in other anthologies that I've already published, so I was getting royalties off of them and they were in contract. Well, when I went and actually pulled all of the contracts to see how much longer I could have before I could take them back, they were all open. Like, the contracts had ended. So I was able to take, out of 30 stories, I was able to take, 22 of them back.
Okay.
And so, and then I had to write one. And went back, revised them, and they're with the editor right now.
Okay.
I've already got a cover. I've already got everything ready to go. As soon as they come back from the editor, then I'll have a book, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, actually. So that was something else.
Didn't you also have a story recently featured on No Sleep?
I did.
Okay.
I had another one. So one of them, I don't know when the first one happened, date-wise. I guess we were still running then. But then I had another one, 3 weeks ago. Excuse me.
Corona.
Yeah, right? We're not going to talk about that. I'm not going to joke, man. I'm going to keep my... They say, though, if you're worried, if you can take a deep breath and hold it for 10 seconds, then you're probably all right.
Okay. Because breathing issues are the primary...
Right. So if you can take a deep breath and hold it... My thing is my throat's dry from talking so much.
Yeah. So, I was just making a joke, man.
No. This was the thing. When I got my surgery earlier in the year, I started noticing that my throat would get dry whenever I would talk too much. And they're like, yeah, you know, there's physical changes, so there's going to be some things that are different. But then when the corona comes up, and it's like, was that a dry cough, or was that just me needing to clear my throat?
Oh, dude, I have found that I've gotten so conscious about, you know, if I cough, it's weird what I'm watching out for now. You know, if I go to Walmart, I want to make sure nobody thinks that anything's wrong with me. So
right. Well, it's that Brack music show. It's like, don't touch me. Yeah, we had to have some contractor over here because of the plumbers, and I'm just like, from way over here, looking at, so what are we talking about here? I'm not going to get close to you guys. You know, I feel bad that you guys have to be in people's houses, you know?
Right.
So it's scary. Certainly, not interested in a whole lot of pandemic stuff. When I say, my life has been like a Stephen King novel, well, I went to the place where The Shining was written. The Stand is happening globally right now. You know, it's like, we got the new dog. So there you got Pet Cemetery. Cause you sit there and you'd be doing whatever you need to do, and you glance over and there's a dog looking at you disapprovingly. There's so much stuff. But oh yeah. Here's something fun.
What you got?
Legal Switchblade.
Nice, man.
It's the grown-up kind. It's the Kershaw.
Okay.
I don't know. Saw it on clearance and was like...
You had to pick that up, huh?
I had to pick it up. these are the things you do whenever you're stuck at home for a month or longer.
So now that we're back, man, what are we looking at for stuff that's going to be coming up with the podcast? We're going to be doing... What kind of things we're doing? Some more fresh eye content. We added interviews to the show, which is going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think what probably made our hiatus longer than it needed to be was the fact that we have for the longest time been a live show, and I don't mean live on Facebook, but we recorded live together in the same room. And that kind of got a real wrench put into it when you move so far away that
yeah.
It was hard for either one of us to come this far and then record. So I think if we can do more stuff on Skype, which is not, I mean, eventually one day we'll be close together again. But until then, if we can get Skype, well, then we can get interviews because other people can Skype in and send us
exactly.
And we don't have to schedule it as hard as it's been before. I want to do more more content, maybe some local stuff with some of our content creators, some different artists, writers, cartoonists, comic book artists, whatever, to talk about their stuff going on, maybe some of their shows, because, I mean, they could certainly use the help. More movies, more local, just kind of more of what we were doing, but just amp it up a little bit.
Right.
What do you think?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And right now is the time to do it because just like you were saying, just everybody's stuck in quarantine right now. The con season is pretty much shot. So it's just a matter of networking and getting everybody's message out there. And we could definitely be used as a platform for that. So
definitely.
When Comic Palooza is totally canceled for the year. Texas Frightmare is going to be pushed back significantly. And there's still so much uncertainty about everything. But I'm still looking forward to Texas Frightmare weekend. We still have our rooms and everything lined up, so.
Well, that was another thing that kind of put us on hiatus is because as you know, for the longest time we were our base was not very strong. So when I set up the podcast through the website and then populated through iTunes and whatnot. I've probably talked about it before, but what happened was iTunes did not want to accept the RSS feed from the website. So I went through Spreaker. Well, the problem with Spreaker is they want you to pay for access. So you'd have to pay like $50 a year, which you think, that's not much. But then Spreaker has your content. They say, okay, well, you can have so much content before we start throttling it. Like, you can have so many episodes before you have to start paying and back and forth.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not going to pay for something that's essential. I mean, yeah, we're turning it into something more, but yeah, like on the podcast side of things, I'm not going to pay you to be an antenna for me. So, especially since we had no listeners on Spreaker anyway. It was stupid. So, I actually had to get Tony... to dig into the website, and he figured out what the problem was. And the problem was a good news, bad news. Like, the problem is you don't have a really big problem, except you got a pretty big problem. And what it was that you have to, like, the reason everything's kind of jacked up is because of this one plugin, which is easy enough to fix. The bad news is everything's uploaded to that interface. So I had to, by deleting it, when I deleted the plugin, it also deleted all of our listener counts, all of our traffic, all of our comments, all like everything. It was just like starting fresh. But I started fresh at episode one, and I went like on a marathon of like two straight weeks of just uploading like three or four episodes a night.
Uh-huh.
And now we're fully populated through all networks at our own feed. We're not throttled by Spreaker anymore.
Right.
So we can make a new show every day, and it just pops up, including on Spreaker's, like through their network. You'll just see us pop up. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. So we'll be able to do more content more often, or shows as long as we want without having to cut them into half. Like, this is a part two episode because we had so much stuff to talk about. But yeah, I'm ready to go. This is a relaunch, so we'll be back next week with hopefully something really cool to talk about.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely make sure to bring it. bring the content that you guys want to hear, so.
Well, hey, man, I think that puts us probably at the end. Do you have any parting thoughts, or we want to just go ahead and
just,
get into next week?
Just glad to be back, man. You know, I've missed this so much, and just excited. Excited to bring the vision that we've always had back and keep it going, man.
Same. I'm ready to get these things edited and thrown up on the website and relaunch. So I guess... until next week, man, keep it scary.
Later.